All right. In the beginning, God said. Today we're going to be looking at God said. Specifically the said part. Our God is a God who speaks. Some gods in the past, false gods, obviously, but, you know, sometimes they go more through divination, sometimes they go more through the written word. We have a God who speaks. And the very first thing we read about in the Bible is, in the beginning, God said, and he spoke everything that is into existence. Personally, I really like this verse because I have a tendency to talk to myself, you know, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of you can relate to this. I carry on these wonderful conversations, and there's nobody there, and it's fine. You know, sometimes I just talk to the cat, and that works. It was really nice when my children were really little because you just carry them around with you, and you could just say you're talking to the child because that's a healthy and good thing to do. You know, they have no clue what you're saying, but that's okay. But I find it interesting. In the beginning, God said, who was he talking to? He was the only one there. Now, admittedly, he's got the whole Trinity thing going in his favor, so he could be talking to himself and still be speaking to somebody else. I don't have that, you know, but he was the only one, and yet he spoke. So I figure, you know, it's okay for me to talk to myself, and it kind of tells you the power of God's spoken word. After he created a few other things, you know, he had Adam and Eve, and he spoke to Adam and Eve, face to face. He spoke in a language they understand, in a way that they could communicate back and forth, this wonderful friendship. Later on, he spoke to Moses. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke to many people throughout the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus spoke to the people, and Jesus liked to tell stories. He spoke to them in parables. He spoke to them in stories. And it's interesting that most of our Bible is in stories. We serve a God who speaks, and he created a people who loves to listen and who loves to hear stories. You think about it, in the Bible, you know, we have all these wonderful stories, and we like stories, and so it works out beautifully. And when you think about the, you know, what percentage of the Bible is stories, a lot of it is stories, because God knew that's what we would enjoy. And let's face it, what would you rather read? One of those great stories, or and so and so was the father of so and so, who was the father of so and so, was, you know, that the begats, you know, the begats, the genealogies. Yeah, nothing puts you to sleep faster, right? You know, we all love to turn to those and just really delve into a good begat. Now, give me the story. Or, you know, the places where it says, you know, build the temple this high and this long and this wide and put into the, you know, these items made this way to these specifications. You know, we tend to just skip on over those parts because they're really not all that great. We like the stories. God gave us these wonderful stories. And we learn best through stories. This is why Jesus used stories so often. This is what we remember. If I were to stand up here and just gave you a list of facts and statistics about missions, next week, if I were to give you a test on it, you're probably not going to remember any of it. But if I tell you stories about what's happening around the world through missions, you have a better chance of remembering that, I hope. We like stories. We remember stories. We enjoy listening to stories. And that's obvious not just in the church, but in the secular world as well. I mean, look at the movie industry or television or books and novels. We enjoy stories. And so it's not that surprising that God gives us these stories, that Jesus spoke in stories. Jesus often spoke to large crowds. In John 18:20, Jesus said, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. And so Jesus is coming right out and saying, I'm speaking to you. I'm telling you openly what I have to tell you. I'm not saying it in secret. I'm not saying it in ways that you won't understand. I'm speaking openly. And it's interesting with Jesus, he spoke in religious places. He spoke in people's homes. He spoke out in the open, on the mountainsides, in the open air. He spoke a lot of times to large crowds that included men, women, and children. It included Jews and Gentiles. He spoke to everyone equally and freely. He could have written his message down. He could have done any number of things, but he chose to speak to the people that followed him. We look at Paul later on and all the wonderful letters that we have. He chose to write it down. Now, he also spoke face to face, but then he recorded it in these letters. And we have these letters and the importance of these letters. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus spoke face to face to the people. He spoke from mountains. He spoke in villages. He spoke as he walked along the road. He was always communicating with the people around him. Just always. Sometimes formally, most of the time very informally. He was just speaking as friends. And so in missions, we want to copy Christ, because obviously that works. And so in missions, we're finding more and more ways to become storytellers, to become like Jesus. And sometimes formally, most of the time informally, find ways to speak. Find ways all around us. How can we communicate? How can we tell these stories to the people around us? And so tonight we're going to look a little bit at Africa. We're going to look at some different ways that we are storytelling in Africa, different techniques, different stories, a whole variety of things. Africa is kind of interesting. Right now, and a lot of Africa is the creative access countries where you're not allowed to speak freely and openly. We kind of have to sneak in and be creative, hence the name, Creative Access. We're not wanted there. And if we're caught there, bad things happen. So some parts of Africa, it's very easy to speak and to tell stories. And then at other parts, it's very, very difficult. And the nice thing is we've got these borders where the two meet. And so we can sort of cross that barrier and do some work and then sneak back where it's safe. And so we've got a lot of coming and going in Africa, a lot of people who are taking things from where it's safe and getting them into where it's not safe. And so in Africa, we are officially present in 23 countries. I shouldn't say officially. We are in 23 countries, some more official than others. But we have a presence in 23 countries that we know of. And we are there in 13 languages. Which sounds pretty neat, you know, 13 languages, that's wonderful. However, in Africa, do you have any idea how many languages are in Africa spoken throughout the continent? There are 2,146 different languages spoken in Africa. Just think about that for a minute, 2,146 languages. In Nigeria alone, there are 529 different languages that are spoken. That's incredible. Of course, in Africa, the people speak more than one language as opposed to here in the United States. I sometimes joke I speak two languages. I speak proper English, and I speak Snyder County English. But I'm really not sure that counts as two. In Africa, it's not that uncommon for people to speak a variety of languages, or at least be able to communicate well enough in a variety of languages. So we are present in 13 languages, which depending upon how you want to look at that, it's either impressive or not. But the World Mission Broadcast goes out in these 13 languages, and we have a lot of different production studios across the African continent. And at these production studios, the programs that we air are put together and recorded and then packaged. And I never really thought about packaging a radio program. But we need to package them and put them onto CD or DVDs, and then we can distribute them to where they're going to be broadcast, whether they're going to be broadcast in a large way over the radio waves, or whether these CDs and DVDs are going to be smuggled somewhere and taken in and distributed among the people. But we have these recording areas, recording studios, and we record everything, we package it, and then we distribute it and play it later. Radio in Africa is oftentimes the very first place where people will look for answers. They want the answers to life. They need help. Their first instinct is to go to radio. I guess it's kind of like the African Siri or something. I don't know. But they often will go to radio. They're accustomed to going to the radio for answers. So as Nazarenes, we want to have a very strong presence on the radio because that's where people are going to go, number one place. Radio. Where do we want to be? Radio. Very effective ministry. And a lot of people in Africa are hearing the gospel and accepting Christ because of the radio and the radio programs that we have. Pastor Prowell is the World Mission Broadcast Coordinator. World Mission, for some of you that have been around a while, this is World Radio. he's the World Mission Broadcast Coordinator. And recently he had a listener contact him, and they had a shortwave radio, and they heard one of our Nazarene programs over their shortwave radio, and they contacted Pastor Prowell. This person is in a country where we don't have a presence there yet. It's one of the things I love about the work at the Church of the Nazarene with missions. We don't just say, we don't have a presence there, but we say, we don't have one yet. We will. If Jesus tarries long enough, we will be there. But officially, right now, we do not have any work in this area where this person is from. It's a creative access area. We have a difficult time getting in. However, Pastor Prowell and other missionaries that are working in that area keep in contact with this person, and they encourage him, and they give him different materials. They tell him all about God's great love for him, and they assure him that God is present where he is, even though God is not allowed where he is. You cannot keep God out, and that God can help him as he struggles with his Christian life in this area where that is so incredibly dangerous. It's because of the World Radio program that we were able to help this man. Another listener, Zampu, listens to a program called Nazarene Time, and Zampu is actually the religious chief in his village. And this is a village where if you are a Christian in this village, they will kill you. And so he's the religious chief in this village, going through the ceremonies or whatever he has to do, and yet he has a small red battery-powered radio that Pastor Prowell gave to him, and he listens to Nazarene Time on his radio when no one else is around, and he gets encouragement, and he's faithfully listening to our programs, even though if he and his little red radio get caught, they're going to be killed. So World Radio is a wonderful source to get the gospel to places where we cannot physically be. We cannot send a missionary in. We cannot build a church. We cannot have an official presence there, but you can't stop the radio waves. And the radio programming is going into these countries, and people are getting saved. Another great source that we have to get the gospel out is the Jesus film. Most of you are very familiar with the Jesus film, but the Jesus film is effective because it speaks in the language of the people. And so the people are hearing Jesus speak to them in their own language, and that is so powerful. And this is, it's going out into cultures that are very story-based. We said in the beginning, people like stories. And so we come with this story, and they like this. They can relate to this. They understand this, and they can follow the flow of the story as the movie progresses. So we have three different stories about people who watch the Jesus film. The first one is a person named Casco. And they say, I was touched by the affection of Christ and his conduct toward his people. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. This is a sign of love and majesty. I was touched by his humble and supportive behavior. I put my life in Jesus, so he keeps me from all evil and raises me from darkness. Praise the Lord in the highest heaven. What jumped out at me when I read this was, he said, he healed the sick and fed the hungry. This is a sign of love and majesty. And I thought that was interesting because I don't know that I would have chosen the word majesty. Jesus, by feeding the hungry and healing the sick, showed his majesty. And I wouldn't have put that together before. And I thought, you know, how might I have, you know, if I was Jesus, and it's a really good thing I'm not, you know, but what are some ways that Jesus could have shown his majesty? You know, for one thing, I thought, you know, he controls the stars. He could do amazing things up in the skies and just incredible, celestial, miraculous, get everyone's attention with some huge thing in the sky. And he did that for the wise men in the Christmas story, you know, so he's perfectly capable of it. But he didn't choose to do that. And I thought, well, he could have done some kind of incredible, I mean, let's face it, when we read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't you think it would be really awesome if he said, okay, all of you Pharisees and Sadducees, you stand over there in a group, and kind of like the rebellion with Moses in the desert, you know, the ground could just open up and swallow them, and they'd be gone, you know? That would be impressive. That would show his majesty and his ability to just wipe out all of his enemies, just whoosh, gone, the ground swallows them up. That would be impressive. There are so many things that Jesus could have done, but instead, he fed the hungry and healed the sick, and that showed his majesty and his love. His love, I can understand, that shows his love, but his majesty. And so, what are you doing to show God's love and God's majesty in your life? Now, obviously, you know, we can't do anything super incredibly miraculous, you know, like Jesus, I can't raise the dead, you know. But what are we doing? I like this next testimony because it answers that, what are you doing, in a wonderful, wonderful way. This one is Sibu. Sibu is 17 years old, and Sibu says, I come from another religion. During a walk, I came across the Jesus film screenings. I feel through this film that God is love, and he invites us all to walk in his footsteps. His humility is the measure of his love for us. He cares neither for our color nor our social membership. He draws us to himself. Now I sing his name because he lives in my heart. Jesus invites us to walk in his footsteps, and when we have Jesus in our heart, we should sing. I love that last line. Now I sing his name because he lives in my heart. Can you say that? You know, do you smile? Do you have joy in your life? Are you singing because you have Jesus in your heart? Do you stand apart from the people that are just being crushed by the cares of the world? Or are you right there with them being crushed by the cares of the world? This is something so simple. I can sing because I have Jesus in my heart. I can smile. My joy that comes from Jesus should just be seen by everyone around me. What are you doing to show the majesty of Jesus? And then the third story. I like this one too. What a surprise, right? Great stories. My name is Pina. I am in CM2, and if you don't know what CM2 is, and I had no idea what CM2 is, they've got it in brackets right there. It means she's in the fifth grade, okay? I'm Pina. I'm in the fifth grade. I was moved by the behavior and attitude of God speaking to his disciples and the people he visited in the Jesus film. He is of great stature and has priceless love for children. He is the perfect God who invites everyone to let the children come to him. I was thinking about this, and a lot of times we have a tendency, you know, we look at the children and we say, well, they're the church of tomorrow. Or they're just not quite as important because they're not adults, they're only children. And I'm sure you've heard people say things like this. You know, if you want to take this to its fullest extent, we live in a culture that kills, I don't know how many babies every year through abortion. Children obviously are not very important to our culture because we're just slaughtering them off. But we have a tendency to think that adults, and I don't think we mean to, but in the church, we have this tendency to think that adults are more important than children. Not specifically this church, because we've got great children's programs, but overall, the Christian attitude. I was talking to a lady one day, and she said, this is quite a while ago, but she said, I don't have a real ministry. I only work with the children. And after I picked my jaw back up off the ground, because this woman has this incredible, incredible ministry to young children. And she, you know, she looked at me and she said, you know, you're better because you work with adults. I said, no, absolutely not. She's starting these kids off, and I've seen her with kids. Like I said, she is just amazing, an amazing woman with an incredible ministry. And I'm looking at what she's doing, and I'm like, okay, 90 seconds into this, I would have a migraine like you could not believe, because she works with the wee little ones, you know? And I'm like, there is no way I could do what she does. And she says, well, I don't have a real ministry because it's just children. No, God loves the children. Let the children come unto me. Bring them to me. Let me bless the children. And this person, this fifth grader, this is what touched her in the Jesus film, that Jesus loves the children and wants the children around him. God doesn't care about our skin color. He doesn't care about the amount of money we have. He doesn't care about our age. He doesn't care about any of that. He loves people. And it comes out through the Jesus film. And the Jesus film is reaching so many people because they see that love in ways that speak to him. Each one of these as a testimony, I saw Jesus' love through something completely different. But Jesus' love is there, and it's coming out loud and clear through the Jesus film. Another technique that they're using in Africa, we actually talked about this a while ago, I don't know if you remember it or not, but it's called, then it was called Bible trekking. They've changed the name because they kind of decided maybe we could improve upon that. And now it's simply called Let's Talk. I like that. It's simple. I can understand that. I didn't quite understand the Bible trekking name, you know? So I'm right there with the people that are being reached by this. Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a very simple process where we tell Bible stories. Big shock, right? And so we have a teacher, and that teacher is kind of a facilitator, and we have a bunch of listeners, and the teacher tells a story. And then they don't lecture on it or anything like that. They just tell the story, and then they ask some very investigative, open-ended type questions about the story. And it encourages dialogue between the group of all the different members in the group. And then as they dialogue and they think about and ponder these questions and discuss these questions, they're learning about the Bible story. Very easy, very simple, and very targeted to that audience, because the questions are vague enough that the discussion can go in a way that's very pertinent to the listeners. And if you think about it, how do you learn best? I mean, what I'm doing is really in a lot of ways wrong, because I'm just telling you this stuff. I'm not requiring that you think about it. Because if you have to think about it and think of the answers and process other people's answers and put it all together, you learn more and you retain more. And so we have these people coming together and just really discussing these Bible stories. And so they're remembering it. And what's really neat is that the conversation starts during these Let's Talk meetings, but then it goes out from there. And the people leave the meeting, but they're still talking because people like to talk. And so when they see one another at work the next day or out in the fields or, you know, hauling water or whatever it is that their activities bring them to the next day, and they say, you know, I've been thinking about what so-and-so said. Or, you know, what do you think about this aspect of the story? Could it have, you know, could this have gone on? And so the conversation continues as people continue their lives. And it's not like they just leave and that's it. They take it with them. And then other people are eavesdropping, because again, people are really good at that. And they're eavesdropping and they say, wait a minute, what is this you're talking about? Tell me about this story. And then they get to repeat the story to somebody brand new. And then they can all talk about it. And then they can bring them back for the next Let's Talk meeting. Just see how great this is, how this works. This is a wonderful way of spreading the Gospels through the retelling of stories. And in story-based cultures, people remember these stories. You know, we kind of play that game, do you remember, where you start something and you whisper it down through the line, and it's entertaining to see how it ends up at the end? You know that game? But in these story-based cultures, they're more skilled at remembering the story. And they can repeat it and everything, as opposed to our little game. So that by the time it's been told 6 or 8 times, the story still sounds pretty familiar. It's still pretty close to what it was originally. So this works great in these cultures. And this is the way, even if you're illiterate, you can hear a story and repeat it. You don't need it written down. That's not going to help you at all. And so these stories, just going out and sharing these stories. Africa is actually making great strides in the literacy department. They're overall, things are definitely improving, and the literacy statistics are rising. But the storyteller is still going to be held in esteem in the African culture. And so radio, the Jesus film, Bible storytellers are going to continue to be very effective in our work in Africa as we spread the gospel into these new areas and lead more people back to the master storyteller. And that's the goal of all of it. If we can lead them back and say, this is the one who wrote the story. This is the one who can write your story if you will only follow him. If we can lead people back to the master storyteller, the one in charge of the whole book of life and the world, what a great and effective way to reach out to these people and to the people around us as we try to reach out. Will we tell the stories of Jesus as freely as they do in Africa and in these persecuted areas? Will we talk about what God is doing in our lives as freely as people living where it might cause them great harm to talk about what God is doing in their lives? In our culture, we tend to talk about all sorts of things, but we don't really talk about God. Will we be a part of that story? Will we be the storytellers that God is calling us to be? So that's your challenge. Try to tell more Jesus stories to the people around you. However that looks in your life, talk about Jesus, talk about God. Spread his word the same way that it's being spread in Africa. So let's close in prayer, and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spoken word. Thank you for your written word. And God, thank you for your spirit that takes your written word and just makes it alive and makes it speak to us as we read it. God, you are awesome and amazing, and your stories are powerful. And God, I ask that you would help us to spread your word, whether it's through missions, whether it's through the person next to us, as we encounter different people in life and in the places where you put us, God, may our goal be to spread your word. And God, I just ask that you would bless us and help us to do that, Lord. Give us wisdom, give us your eyes, show us, give us creativity in ways that we can spread your word. God, just use each person that's here to further your kingdom. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much, and you are dismissed.